National Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show.
928-854-5687. That's 854-5687.
Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
Welcome to Speak Out, everybody. It's Monday, June 7th, 2021. And guess who's here?
Who's here?
Indeed.
Yes, and good day.
Brother Jim Russell in the house.
In the house, enjoying life. What a beautiful day we got out there.
I know why you're so happy. You sent me your events list for October the other day. That's why you're in such a great and merry mood.
Yes, anticipation. Boy, all signs are we're going to be back to business as usual in the event world come October.
Right. We've got Dr. Carla Harkelrode on the line, executive director at ASU at Lake Havasu. And Dr. Carla, I didn't want you to feel left out, but I got to do a little housekeeping here before we get started on the show.
You bet.
Okay, perfect. And are you becoming a Suns fan by chance?
I like all manner of sports,
It's always easier when you move to a new state and the pro team from that state or pro teams are doing well. You know what I mean?
So sure.
You could jump on the fan wagon, right? So
that's right.
Yeah, exactly. So the Suns continue their quest for playoff success tonight. Or let's just, I wanted to say playoff dominance after what they did to LeBron. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to jinx them. So anyway, Suns hosting Denver tonight at 7. And before that, we'll be in the NHL playoffs. That's a 4 p.m. start. So, we'll go right into the Suns, tip off with that. The Suns will be the priority on that. So, all right, Jim.
Yes.
I got an event for you.
What is that?
It's a wildfire revival. With Pastor Kay Zimmerman and Pastor Randy Cheatham. And these are in Lake Havasu this Friday and in Kingman on Saturday at Centennial Park. The one in Lake Havasu, by the way, is in at London Bridge Beach Park. And these are at 7 p.m. nightly. And come experience the goodness of God, expectant to receive your miracle, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Again, you'll hear the promos as well for Pastor Kay Zimmerman and the Wildfire Revival.
Gee, is that like a tent revival?
I'm not sure, but I think so. I wanted her to come in and kind of bless the show.
Well, I'm being serious.
No, I was talking to Tracy about it. Let's get Pastor Kay in here. She adds a lot of excitement,
well,
a lot
we
of
could
energy,
use the help.
And we could probably take up 5, maybe 10 minutes of show just, you know,
yes,
with that
being
type
blessed.
Of dedication. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So on the phone, speaking of high energy and being blessed, we've got Dr. Carla Harkelrode on the line from ASU at Lake Havasu. She's the executive director, as I mentioned earlier. And you've got a lot of updates. And what's with the Monday meetings, by the way?
Heavy meeting days at ASU for me tend to be Mondays and Fridays. It's just how it seems to go.
Right. So you came up with an expression that I've never heard before. I had heard of voluntold, but you had another one too.
I do, yeah. Voluntold and voluntunities. For sure. So voluntunity is really something where you get to volunteer and it's just an opportunity. And a voluntold is sort of like, well, yeah, you know, we kind of have some choice, but you actually really need to be there.
Yeah, I can only guess which ones come from the mothership in Tempe, right?
Well, you know what? We all have a boss, right? We all report somewhere, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, all right, you have an update for us on the Bachelor of Science in Nursing program for this fall.
Yes.
And I can't believe it, but this fall for you is what, 2 months away?
It's not that far, right? We start in August. So, it just goes very, very quickly. So graduation was actually for spring 2021 was a month ago today.
Jeez.
So we've already been through a month since graduation. So yep, we are looking forward to fall and planning for the arrival of Bachelor of Science in Nursing students for the first time. So we'll be taking 32 nursing students, and the program is full at this time. So we are full for fall. There's a wait list, too. So, you know, as students make decisions and things shift and change around for them, we can have some changing of that list and who's actually going to be here. But, again, we do expect to be full for the fall. So that's 32 nursing students who are advanced to their clinical nursing coursework. So we're really, really excited to have them and to host them. And we've been communicating with them about their housing options and things like that. So it's exciting.
Well, that's great. I know when we've talked before, you were just putting together the nursing nursing program.
And the selection process.
Yes.
Yeah.
And does that represent an expected addition to the normal student body that you would have? Are we growing as a result of this, or do we know?
Yes, that's correct. That's a good question, Jimmy. That we are growing, and so those students are in addition to all the other students that we have who will be joining us this fall for the first time. And so I won't quote a number on our other programs because it will shift and change between now and August. So when I'm back sometime a little bit later in the summer, I'll be able to give you a better update. But we do expect to have the largest number of incoming new students that we've ever had. That is the expectation at this time.
Yeah, that's great.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, that's really good. And I can only imagine with a Bachelor of Science in Nursing program, that doesn't hurt enrollment numbers,
no.
Does it?
No, because they have options, right? So we have students who've completed their prerequisites, who've been admitted or what they call advanced to their clinical nursing coursework. So they're taking only nursing classes. That's that 32 students. We also have students who can enter ASU at Lake Havasu as first-year students and work on their prerequisites and work toward being advanced to those nursing courses. So there are a couple different paths to actually being in the nursing program. So we will have students and an influx of students through both avenues.
So will students who enter and are to do the early required curriculum, will they get preferential treatment for being included as their tenure advances with the school?
Yeah, so there's a couple different pathways. So students who meet automatic admission requirements to the nursing coursework. So they haven't done the prerequisites. They may be a first-year student, but they meet the automatic admission requirements. So as long as they complete their prerequisites and do the things they're supposed to do, maintain the GPA they're supposed to maintain, then they're guaranteed admission when they get to that moment. So one of those 32 spots that we've been talking about. Other students can come in, and if they don't meet automatic admission criteria, they can go through a competitive process. So they can do the prerequisites, and they call it a competitive process so that because they didn't meet automatic admission requirements, but they can still pursue that goal. As far as students who are in Lake Havasu, our Edson College of Nursing colleagues over in Tempe who run the nursing program here have been very committed to making sure that Lake Havasu students who are pursuing nursing, that we're doing everything we can to support that goal. Because one of the reasons they're bringing the nursing program here is to help meet workforce development needs in this local area. So, very exciting.
That is very exciting. And the number to call if you want to talk to Dr. Carla Harkelrode, just because she's on the phone, doesn't mean we don't have another phone line for you to talk to her.
Very high tech.
854, that's right, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. And I wanted to ask you, Dr. Carla, on that Bachelor of Science in Nursing program, where did these students come from? Did we already mention that?
Yeah, so some of them are coming from the Valley. We do have some folks at Tempe, Phoenix area, and they're coming from some other places as well. I don't have the full list in front of me, but again, those students who are advancing to their nursing coursework are students who have completed all their other requirements to graduate from ASU for the most part. They've completed their prerequisites, they've done everything else, so it would only make sense that that particular set of students, this cohort, would be coming from somewhere else because we haven't had the program before. So it has to be students who've completed those prerequisites and have been pursuing that goal somewhere.
So with that 32 positions being taken so quickly, does that open the possibility for expansion of that program in the future to accommodate more students?
Yeah, so that 32 is the number that we expect at this time for those students who've advanced. But as we have students making their way through the pipeline, the plan actually that was submitted and approved is to have up over 60 students pursuing nursing here over the next 5 years. So they grow every year. So the expectation is that we have students coming in their first year and they start pursuing nursing and they start working on the prerequisites and they make their way forward. So at any one time, those 32 spots plus any other students who are pursuing that goal over 5 years, the expectation, or at least the thought was at the time, and again, these are all estimates. We can't see the future, but we're about 64.
Well, there's good news, Jim, for those students who are going into nursing or want to be a nurse practitioner or those associated healthcare fields, because Arizona, there was a story that ran today, is in the top 10 for earners in the healthcare industry nationwide.
Wow.
So you might want to pass that along to those students to not give up on their dream, Dr. Carla, because there's and to stay in Arizona because there's a really good future for them here.
It's true. We have, and I don't know the current numbers, but in meetings I've been in with folks from Lake Havasu City, you know, we have quite a few openings for nurses here. So this was a very strategic decision to bring the Bachelor of Science in Nursing to Lake Havasu City. It grows our enrollment, which is wonderful. That's what we want to see happen. But it also meets a workforce development need that we have here. So sort of everybody wins.
Right. Okay, scholarship fundraising, what's going on with that? And we want to refer people to asufoundation.org/Havasu if they want to follow along on this.
Sure. Yeah, so we do everything that we can to offer scholarship funding to as many students as possible. So we offer scholarships to our first-year students, our incoming students. We also offer continuing students the opportunity to apply for scholarships. So it's important. We all know that the pandemic has been hard for families and for students, and we really want to do everything that we can to decrease the amount of debt that students have to take on when they graduate. So the way our scholarships work here, for our first-year students in particular, is we actually evaluate their need in addition to looking at their academic profile and information. So we evaluate their need. Do they have moderate need, low need, high need? And we try to have our scholarship dollars both increase enrollment, so it incentivizes enrollment here. And we also want it to go to students who need it. So we take it very, very seriously. We have a scholarship review committee, and we work through all of these things together in a very systematic way so that we award scholarships in an equitable and transparent manner. So that's how we handle our first-year students. We evaluate the information we have about them, including their need. For our continuing students, we actually allow them to apply. So they submit a scholarship application, and we're in the middle of reviewing scholarship applications for next year for our continuing students right now. So, you know, there were some very generous donors, very, very generous donors when ASU at Lake Havasu started about almost 10 years ago now.
Right.
And those generous donations, of course, because scholarships have been awarded every year, are going down, right? They're depleting because we've been awarding scholarships as we should. So we're in the process of working to raise funds so that we can continue doing what we're doing to support students. So we've made some really good progress. I don't have the current tally right in front of me, but we have made progress. We have a ways to go. We're running our current campaign through at least the end of this calendar year.
Is that to say that alumni would be part of that fundraising strategy?
Yeah, we did reach out to all of our alumni at ASU at Lake Havasu. We've approached this in a number of different ways. One way was to reach out to all of our alumni, so we did that. We've also partnered with River Cities United Way for payroll deductions, so we've gone about it that way. And now we're also just working with local community partners. So our community advisory group here at ASU at Lake Havasu is made up of community members who advise on all kinds of topics related to what we do here. Scholarship fundraising is one of those topics, so we've been working with that group. And then we're also, of course, just doing our own local outreach to some of the donors that have worked with us in the past, but also to some new folks as well. So, and scholarships, you know, people who choose to give can have some say, of course, over how those funds are used. For example, if they want to give to students who are first-generation college students, so the first in their family to attend college, we have ways to make sure that funds support the kinds of students that individuals or organizations would like to support.
There you go.
Neat.
We should have an events person fundraiser, right?
Yes, certainly.
Yeah, an events person scholarship. That's what I was trying to say. A little slow today on a Monday, obviously, because...
It's a slow kind of Monday, guys. It is.
I gave out the sports information earlier, and I didn't give out the name of the station that the games are on.
Wow.
KNTR Sports, not KNTR Talk. So that's 980 AM, 100.5, and 94.3 FM. We're talking to Dr. Carla Harkle-Road, Executive Director at ASU at Lake Havasu. And I seem to remember you saying you had some history with Joe Diffie. Is that right?
Yes, I do.
I thought so. So I'm going to play pickup man as we go out, and we'll come back with Dr. Carla Harkle-Road. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Brother Jim Russell. Stay with us on a Monday edition of Speak Out.
I got an 8-foot bed that never has to be made. You know, if it weren't for trucks, we wouldn't have tailgates. I met all my wives in traffic jams. You're just something women like about a pickup man. My last chance, she's gone country. Look at them boots, she's gone country. Back to her roots, she's gone country. A new kind of suit, she's gone country. Here she comes.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. And Jim Russell, have you gone
yes.
country? You were telling me about Garth Brooks last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, Garth Brooks was one of the recipients in the Kennedy Center Awards last
night. Wow. Yeah. Did you catch that, Dr. Carla?
I didn't. I couldn't hear.
Oh, well.
Oh, you couldn't hear what Jim was saying?
Yeah, that's correct. I couldn't hear what Jim was saying.
Oh, Garth Brooks was one of the recipients at the Kennedy Center Honors?
Ah, yes.
Yeah, you might want to bring your mic up just a tad there.
Well, Jim. I think I'm in there.
Perfect. All right, you're there now. All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Mojave Mortgage, also GDK CPA LLC, Springberg McAndrew Financial Services, Patio Paradise, Connected Computer and Technology, Horizon Community Bank, and our newest sponsor, Arizona Krav Maga.
And they're good folks. All they just want a shot at your business. So give them a try when you do. Tell them you heard about them on Speak Out.
That's all they ask.
That's all. Thank you.
You'll have another shot at it.
Okay.
You'll have another chance
we'll
to get it right here
okay.
the next break. All right. And a little Alan Jackson for you, Dr. Carla, knowing that
okay.
you've gone country and been country for a long time now.
That's true.
All right. So, all right. What is that? It's an in-person, on-campus plan. From what I understand, for fall of 2021, what is a in-person
yeah.
on-campus plan?
Yep. So everyone, many people are probably familiar that I've talked about it previously. We worked as a We worked on a hybrid model across the past year. We have had an in-person option since last August. Even in the middle of the pandemic, we came back with lots of COVID protocols in place, and students were had the option to either attend in-person or to attend via Zoom, synchronously to attend class via Zoom while class was happening. It was up to the student. Then throughout the year, we had somewhere between 25 and 50% of our students actually choose to be in-person. But this fall, we're moving back to what ASU calls Learning Mode 1, and that's primarily an in-person experience. So there will be an exception, which I'll talk about, related to international students, but we will have all of our students in person, on campus, in the classroom, with faculty in the classroom. So that is currently the plan. We're moving back to Learning Mode 1, and we're really excited about that. Really excited to have more students on campus and in classrooms, engaging with each other and with their faculty members. So, but I do have an update related to international students about that. We do have international students who may yet not be able to be in the United States. They may not be able to leave their home countries due to visa issues and things like that. They just can't get them. That's an issue around the world right now. And so for those students, we will still provide a hybrid option for them. So they'll actually be able to attend courses via ASU Sync, so through Zoom technology. So we're planning for a primarily in-person experience this fall.
Does that affect enrollment at all with the situation with international students?
Yeah, you know, we've done everything we can to support our international students. Depending on where they are in the world, we've had issues with, you know, it's hard for them to connect. Sometimes the internet is unstable. But for the most part, we've been able to connect with our international students who are abroad. It's certainly not the same as having them be here. As far as it impacting enrollment, you know, our international students are able to stay with us and to attend remotely from their home countries if they want to. So we're hoping that it doesn't impact enrollment very much on the international student side of things.
Do they have to jump through any quarantine protocols or anything like that when they re-enter the United States?
They did. That guidance changes all of the time. I don't want to misspeak and give incorrect guidance about that. But, yeah, in the past, there have been quarantine requirements when students arrive here. At this time, we will know more about fall and how we're going to handle that as our international students arrive when we get closer. ASU's guidance has been very real-time so that they're using the current data and information that they have about COVID to make those decisions. So we'll know closer to, you know, July and August exactly what we're supposed to do to support our international students.
You know, Jim, on that question, I was asking for a friend. Yes. Jim produces the IJSBA World Finals, and quite a few of the competitors come from
half of the competitors
come from foreign countries. So, I was going to ask you another question that pertains to that. And it flew away. All right, so let's go ahead and take another short break since we're at the bottom of the hour. And we'll do a dedication to mullets on this one with some Billy Ray Cyrus. How about that? All right. Dr. Carla Harkle-Road from ASU at Lake Havasu. She's the executive director. We also have Brother Jim Russell in the house. I'm Paul Lavoie. It is definitely a Monday on Speak Out. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Don't tell my heart, my achy, breaking heart. I just don't think he'd understand. And if you tell my heart, my achy, breaking heart, he might blow up and kill this man.
Back on Speak Out with some Brooks and Dunn, along with Brother Jim Russell. It's Monday, Jim.
It is. Well, I know it's Monday because I'm here.
I know it's Monday for you because you weren't here like 30 minutes early as usual. So, all right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, also Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, SunPower by Esme Electric, Herb's Herbs, and by the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty, Bobby and Julie Lewis, Brian Vesley, and Lori Rule.
And they just want a shot at your business, folks, so give them a try.
That's all
they want.
Ask. That's okay. All they ask.
That's okay.
My goodness, I got to rewrite this whole thing
you know,
for
I don't want it to sound keep, too canned.
And keep it in writing, Dr. Carl. I just, you know, some guys are without their, what are those notes called in college?
Cliff notes.
Cliff notes, thank you. I am really lost today, aren't I? I got through college on cliff notes.
And now obviously you lost them.
Yeah, well, it was 30 years ago. Over.
So, true confessions, Paul. True confessions, right?
It was a long time ago. All right, Dr. Carla Harkle-Rhodes, still on the line, Executive Director at ASU at Lake Havasu. You can give Dr. Carla a call as well, 854-KNTR-928-854-5687. Maybe you are on the fence about a scholarship donation and need more information. We have the Executive Director on the phone.
And you can direct that scholarship funding to go where you'd like.
Right. And you mentioned earlier, Dr. Carla, that fall 2021 starts in August, so that means Welcome Week starts soon, doesn't it?
It does. It's really just around the corner. It's hard for me to believe that that's the case, but it is. It's really just around the corner. So in August, I'm just looking at my calendar here, our Welcome Week starts the weekend of August 15th and runs through that week, the week of August 16th until classes start. So we're going to be welcoming our new students as well as our continuing students back to campus, and we're excited to do it. We're in the process of planning right now about what that can look like, but again, we're very fortunate that it's going to be able to look different than it did last year. So we're expecting to bring back a number of our in-person activities that we sort of put on hold during the pandemic. But for example, our beach hut is open now. Many people may be familiar that we, ASU at Lake Havasu, has a beach hut at Windsor Park. And we're going to be able to do a welcome event there. So it's just as part of our activities during Welcome Week. So we're really looking forward to having sort of a different feel than the feel that we had last year.
Are there any physical changes to the campus? We have new or more faculty or classrooms or any actual changes?
So we've been working on some facilities upgrades. So I think I talked about it last time. We've redone all the asphalt here on campus. We're looking at a number of other options as well. We're thinking through some signage. We're also thinking through our gym space, which is a multi-use event space. Sometimes the community comes in and uses that space as well. So we're working on those kinds of things. We hired faculty that started last year, so we didn't have any faculty members to hire for this year. So other than our adjunct faculty members, who we call faculty associates here, so we're regularly hiring faculty members to teach one or two courses. So that's an ongoing project. We do that at least twice a year. But no new full-time faculty members. We're currently mostly full, which is good news. So they're ready to greet our new students.
Jim, you know what I would do for Welcome Week? I would give the students a Mr. Kit. Especially in August.
Mr. as in Mr. in spray water.
Yes. But all joking aside, is there a welcome kit or a packet or a goodie bag, so to speak?
Yeah, we do. Last year, they were provided with sort of a knapsack that had a number of different items in it, as well as information. So as they go through Welcome Week, they have the opportunity to come to these different sessions and events, and they get raffle tickets when they do that, and they put them in a jar, and we give away prizes. So we, you know, encourage and incentivize attendance that way. So they get all the documents and things that they'll need for the entire week when they arrive.
In Jim's day, they gave away slide rules.
Oh, yeah. Actually, stone tablets.
Yeah, right.
Sure,
yeah.
You bet.
So talk about residence hall. You told me earlier off the air that it's filling up.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, I don't want to call it a problem because it's not a problem, but it's a beautiful set of circumstances.
It's a good problem.
Last year, as we, last summer, ASU invested in additional renovated space in the residence hall that we own here, right adjacent to the campus property. So we did some additional renovation last summer. I believe it was 11 rooms, and it's a really, I will say, you prepare for the future, you don't just prepare for the moment, and I'm really glad that that happened, because we have a total of 67 beds in our residence hall, And we are, as of today, and this number fluctuates, just so everyone should know that these numbers go up and down and a little bit here and there as we make our way towards fall, but we are up over 60. We're currently at 64 students.
Okay.
Wow.
So we expect to fill or be very close to full, if not overflowing. So we are currently working with our local community partners on some, you know, how to think about off-campus housing options, private options that students can access on their own, not ASU-supported, but just trying to connect students with resources. So it's a really exciting moment. This has never happened here before, so it's just more evidence that enrollment is growing and students are wanting to live here, which is great.
Well, it's funny you should mention that off-campus options. I was just thinking another option for living off-campus, and especially for those people who are legacies, is the fraternity system. Has that option been visited? Are there any fraternities at ASU at Lake Havasu?
No. So we don't have ASU certainly has a Greek system, but ASU at Lake Havasu does not have Greek houses here.
Okay. Not yet anyway, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not even an option then?
No, there's right now, no. We haven't had this student body for that.
I see.
And so all things, you know, I mean, the future is not entirely knowable, of course, and so we'll see what happens as enrollment grows. But for now, what we're doing is, you know, working to connect students with off-campus private housing options that they can pursue on their own. So we're working through that with our community partners. We have a meeting later this week. I'm very appreciative of the community partners who've been responsive in helping us think through. We also, you know, it's important to remember that many of our nursing students are in their later 20s, and we even have some in their 30s. And, you know, living in a residence hall may not be what they want to do.
Sure, sure.
we want to connect them with good options.
Yeah, we had that conversation last week with James Gray from the Partnership for Economic Development. The need for workforce housing and for education housing and that. Are you working with them as well?
So, it's not directly, but that conversation has come up in meetings where James Gray has been present, and I would echo that, the need for affordable options for educators, law enforcement, et cetera, in the city, as well as students. If ASU at Lake Havasu wants to grow, we're going to have off-campus housing options that are affordable for students. So it's a factor, and, you know, I think we're going to have solutions for this year, and we're excited to work on those solutions. But long term, I think it's just additional evidence of a larger component that the city's working through.
Right. Is the current housing situation presenting any problems for you as far as recruiting faculty?
Our faculty members. So, you know, in the past, for full-time faculty members, you know, that we were very upfront about what it's like to live in Lake Havasu City, and the rental market, I would say, is even tighter than it was last year.
Okay.
So our last faculty member who joined us last year, and it was difficult. He did find a place. He and his wife found a place to live, and it's working for them. But yes, it's a challenge, and I think if we had a new faculty member coming in now this year, I think it would be even harder. So, yes, particularly if you have pets. It's something that I'm glad the city's focused on and that they're thinking through, so that we can support people like students and teachers and other folks who are looking for affordable options that allow them to live here and or go to school here.
So, Doctor, is the practical immediate solution for students is housing in somebody's home, renting a room? Is that what realistically will take place?
So, you know, in the past, before ASU had a residence hall here, a solution in the past was we actually rented a block of hotel rooms.
Okay.
So that's been a solution in the past. I'm not saying that's a solution this time, but that's been a solution in the past. Those kinds of private options, Jen, that sometimes students find those on their own, or they know somebody who then knows somebody who knows somebody, and there's a room in a house, and students work those things out on their own, for the most part. So what we're looking for right now is just rentals that may not be completely obvious, right? Because we all know that word of mouth, is important in these kinds of things. And so, that's what our partners on Thursday when we meet with them are helping us think through. So
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's been really great to have the community's support in thinking through this.
See that, Jim? All that potential for the acres of land that you have out there in Crystal Beach.
We could put up tents.
Casitas.
A tent city. During the summer, that would be a great idea.
Especially with the assessor in your neighborhood. that would go over really big. All right. So the last topic we have on our agenda is in the update for international students, or did we already cover that?
I think we mostly covered that. I could say a little bit more just about our recruitment and enrollment efforts, though, here. So we continue to recruit and enroll throughout the summer. So our admissions team is very, very active. Summer is not a downtime for our professional staff. They just keep on moving forward. So we are continuing to contact and work with students who've been offered scholarships, who have made their way through some part of the admissions process but haven't completed it or they haven't submitted their enrollment deposits. So I expect that our enrollment will go up even just a little bit more between now and the time fall semester starts. So we're looking really good for fall. We will have the largest, I expect us to have, at least at this time, we anticipate the largest number of students we've had.
Well, that's great. That's a testimony to the great work you and your staff and faculty are doing, isn't it?
I will say, you know, this is my fourth institution, and I worked in higher education for a couple decades, and the faculty members that we have here are some of the most dedicated folks that I've worked with. They are so supportive of student success. They go the extra mile all the time to support students. And then our professional staff, because of our size, wear many different hats. So, you know, our work isn't compartmentalized in the same way here. And everybody here, for the most part, just has a really wonderful attitude. And we're here to serve our students. We focus on our students, and that is the mission here. So I do think it has a lot to do with our faculty and staff, yes.
And that probably contributes greatly to the value, the added value that the students are getting by enrolling here.
Absolutely. You know, we have small class sizes, a lot of personalized attention, just anything that a student encounters, any question that they have, any challenge that they're facing, and they have more than one somebody who can help them think that through. So we're very much a community here, and we do take care of each other, and it's been really wonderful to see.
Right. Well, speaking of see, we want to see you in the studio sometime soon.
Oh, by the way, guys, I'm sorry. Meeting schedule's on Monday.
Oh, I completely get it. But anything else you wanted to add before we let you go, Dr. Carla?
No, just want to thank the community so much for their support of ASU Lake Havasu. We couldn't do what we do without you.
Okay, well, we've got a busy October coming, if you didn't know, here in Lake Havasu City, because it's going to be the 50th anniversary of the dedication of the London Bridge in October.
Yes.
And Jim, I don't know if ASU had any plans, but I know Jim is going to be very busy that month.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that when we come back, but always a pleasure to have you on, Dr. Carla. The Executive Director, ASU at Lake Havasu, Dr. Carla Harkelrode, thanks for being with us again on a Monday.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
All right. We appreciate it. Thank you. And there you go, Jim. Everything you wanted to know about Lake Havasu.
Well, how nice.
ASU at Lake Havasu,
nice,
we're afraid to ask.
How nice to hear we're growing.
Yes.
You know, it seems like it's been real slow. It's nice to hear that.
Just think if this pandemic situation wasn't in the rest of the world.
Yes.
It'd probably be growing by leaps and bounds. So, anyway, we'll come back. We're going to talk about a busy October. I just found out some of these events. I was like, wow, I didn't even know we had that one. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Brother Jim Russell. Speak Out. We'll continue. Stay with us. It's like too much money. There's no such thing. It's like a girl too pretty with too much class. Being too lucky, a car too fast. No matter what they say I've done, well, I ain't never had too much fun. I'm a holy terror. Company, and tonight I'm looking for a party crowd. Slamming a back and laughing. All right, welcome back to Speak Out, a little party crowd from the late, great David Lee Murphy, songwriter, and had a couple hits as well. Jim, we've got a phone call.
Wow, let's take it.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi there. So I was just, it's a bit off topic, is that okay?
Yeah, it's dedicated to you, the listener. Go ahead.
Nice, nice. So a bit of a PSA. A couple of 2.5 weeks ago, there was a fire, a garage fire in town.
Yeah.
And it was a friend of mine's house.
Near Palo Verde?
Garage. It was the one on Whitecap.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I just wanted to put a shout out to anybody with the toy RC cars and the LiPo batteries. And because that was the origin of a fire that that spread quickly and just tore the complete inside out of the garage. And the LiPo batteries, honestly, there, you just got to keep an eye on them, keep them out in the open, keep an eye on them while you're charging them, as other fires have been from those LiPo batteries. And the cheaper ones, the Chinese ones are not as good as some of the better ones, but that was the cause of that particular fire.
Wow, interesting. Is it the way they were stored?
Or were they being charged at the time?
They were, good question. They were in the midst of being charged.
Oh.
And, it was a very short while that they were unattended. And, next thing they knew, it was up in flames and it was raging and it was just because they explode. And they blew fiery debris all over, and before you knew it, it was out of control.
How would you, what would you do differently the next time if you, I don't know if you were personally involved, but if you were charging these batteries, keep them out in the open, away from a wall, a flammable source?
Well, right, like out in the driveway or somewhere like that. They actually, and I didn't know this before, they're actually charging bags and charging boxes. Oh. That you can use for these types of batteries to contain anything that may happen. It's and it does happen, and it did happen, and it was an unfortunate thing.
Now, is this a confirmed source of the fire then? Is this the confirmed accelerant, if you will?
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fire department as well. I mean, it was my family's, a part of my family's garage, and we know exactly the circumstance, and the fire department confirmed the point of origin.
Wow.
How big physically were the batteries, and how many were involved?
Oh yeah, well they're just for the toy RC cars. Honestly, it's about a bigger than like two sticks of butter, like about that size.
Sure, okay. Sure. Wow. Great advice, by the way.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
I've been meaning to call you the last week or so, but thanks for having me, and have a great day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We don't need a topic here. This show is dedicated to the listener.
Yeah, and that's great. We have so many things that are using lithium-ion batteries, and especially, as the caller said, the we all look for the best value we can find,
right.
And some of those very inexpensive ones from China. They're all from China, but some of the less expensive ones lack some of the circuitry that protects and senses temperature.
Especially those boards that you stand on them and they go back like a Segway, kind of without the post and the balance mechanism, if you will.
Yeah, and there was kind of a rush a while back of those causing
fires.
Yeah, but
I've seen a lot of them on YouTube that have caught fire. So we wanted to talk a little bit about events, and we're down to about 2.5 minutes now.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing how much time a phone call will eat up. But we've got, this is just for October for DSM Events, folks, which is Jim's company. International Freestyle Competition, right?
Yes.
UTV Championship. Run to the Sun, and Kingman Street Drags.
Yeah, well, now you left out the IJSPA.
IJSPA was a big one.
And now, I don't own all of those events. There's many of them I have.
But you have a part in them.
Yeah, I have the good fortune to contract to many of those.
So the new one on the list that I see is the UTV Championship.
Yeah. With the popularity of the side-by-sides or UTVs, whatever we want to call them, there, we all know how wildly popular they are here in Havasu. Last year, out of the area company, Mad Media, brought an event here for the first time, the UTV Championships, held out in Standard Wash and on the race course out there. Very successful event. Very well done. They're coming back for the second year. That'll be great. An October event, the October 15th-ish weekend.
Well, we're hoping guest-wise we'll have Scott Frazier again from IJSBA.
For sure.
And then Vaca's no stranger to the show, Vaca Zacek. And then Josh Martelli from UTV Championship.
Yes.
And John Homerding, of course, he's been on the show
and
before.
And Mike White.
And then Brian DeVincenzi.
From the Kingman Street Drive.
I haven't seen Brian except on Facebook and probably face-to-face in about 12 years.
Yeah, he's been busy putting together the new upcoming giant Kingman Street Drags, a full eighth mile on Route 66 in Kingman.
Yeah, right there on Andy Devine.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So it'll be good to see Brian again. I know he's probably listening because you're on the show. You're such a magnet for our listeners. Or is it magnate? All right. So on tomorrow's show, we'll have City Manager Jess Knutson. He's bringing in Finance Director Jill Olson. So that'll be a really good show because they're finalizing the budget and voting on that, I believe, tomorrow night is the second vote. We'll have Nikki Nickel from the Havasu Chamber along with Esme Electric on Wednesday. And then we're looking for a substitute for Brian Springberg. He will not be in this week. And then District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould will round it out on Friday.
A busy week.
We got to go, Jim. Have a great day, folks.